And we're back! After...
You can't say that. That's what you say at the end of a break, not at the beginning of an episode.
Well, we have had a break. A week break. So, our one fan Dave, I'm calling him Dave for this week.
What if his name isn't Dave? What if Dave's a chick? What if Dave's a Martian?
Chicks can be... Female Martians can be called Dave.
How do you know? You can't even speak... You don't even know what Martian tongue sounds like.
I don't know. It's Dave Glick.
Glick. How do you know they have, like... mouths. Maybe they just telepathize.
I'm actually friends with Dave, the female Martian.
Oh. Well, I guess you'd know that. But are you friends online or friends in real life?
That is, she is located in Spain, man. It's totes legit. Getting married in Mars.
Okay, so there's someone called... Okay, first off, they're called Dave, which is a very Western name, right?
Yeah.
A very English name.
Yeah.
Who lives in Spain,
yeah,
where they speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Not sure if you knew that.
Yeah.
They're also
from
Mars.
Really?
They're from Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where we don't... They probably don't speak the language at all because they probably don't exist, right?
Yeah, right.
And then he's also female.
Yeah.
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 So...
Totes legit, man.
Dave seems like an unlikely name.
Dave Glick. You got to remember the Glick.
Dave Glick. Well, a Glick is a little bit more possible, I suppose. Just that it sounds...
I actually find that funny if all this mistake about, like, how aliens are is just a weird version of Spanish.
Spanish is cool. Spanish is
a lot. Spanish is cool, but it'd be funny if there was just that, you know, someone from America was just like, oh, it's foreign, it's clearly aliens! Science!
So that means everyone from Spain is an alien?
Apparently.
Oh. Well, that's pretty cool.
I wonder where they keep their antennas. Anyway...
Cockroach.
All right, just before we get into
Spanish.
Everything else, I just have to say, guess who has a job?
You.
Dave Glick.
Oh, well, we don't know that for sure.
I totes know, man, and you want me to send him $10,000. No. I finally got a job, Yaz, that you've been all caring about. You've all been sitting at home.
Everyone, like, listens to your unpublished rant to self every week about how you need a job.
Getting a following, man.
Following of you.
But even if you didn't know, I finally got a job, which is nice.
So now we've got to change our schedule completely because the time that we usually would have recorded is now when Henry is working. So
yeah, we tried to do it last week, which is why I didn't get an episode.
Yeah, and then we waited for 3 hours at the front of Henry's house while he didn't come home. And
because I was like all the way
we
out of
like, yeah, and then we were like too tired and lazy to do an episode, so we just went home. As soon as Henry got there, we were like, all right, let's go home.
We just came here to say, fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Although you did get to watch Regular Show.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch Adventure Time?
Yeah, we watched Adventure
Time
as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Because I love Adventure Time. Although, I've come to admit Regular Show is kind of better.
Hell no.
I don't
Regular Show is cool and all, but Adventure Time is way better.
I love Adventure Time mostly because of Card Wars at this point. Card Wars is just... You need to watch the episode I showed you.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
It's basically their version of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Mm-hmm.
But it's just insane mundane stuff. Like, flop the pig or whatever.
That's not mundane. You don't flop pigs every day.
But it's just farming things. They're only fighting each other with farming things.
Farming can be heaps violent, dude. If you have, like, a slaughterhouse and you're just killing animals all the time.
But they're not killing animals. It's just, like... Eating corn and stuff, but it's amazing.
I love corn. Leave corn alone.
But it's the most amazing game of all time.
I'd roleplay corn eating.
But hey, you got a job too, man.
But I got a job ages ago.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not ages ago. Like, a little bit ago.
This is like
community. And my job doesn't fuck up with our schedule.
No, because you work on Sundays.
And Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. God.
We don't record then.
And we are recording on Sunday now.
That's all right.
I just finished my job early because I start at 7.
Oh, yeah. That's all right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. That's enough about our employment, because no one cares.
Aww.
We have...
Oh, but wait. Did you hear that thing about Clint Eastwood recently?
What about him?
Okay, so basically, Clint Eastwood is like, you know, that guy who is clearly Republican and represents all those things we don't like quietly, but we just don't talk about. Because Clint Eastwood is just cool. He's just a cool guy. You know, you look at his old movies, you're like, that guy's a badass. You know, he's Dirty Harry, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You know, this guy's cool, and Dylan is blanking, I'm guessing.
No, I've seen Dirty Harry, and that's probably it.
I actually haven't seen Dirty Harry. I want to see
Dirty Harry is not that good. It's like, oh, well, that was mediocre crime movie.
Has a good end line, though, apparently.
Like, it has a good end line. It doesn't... I don't see why it's, like, considered amazing.
That's the bit I've seen, and that's a badass.
There are some cool shots in it, though. Like, the opening is pretty cool. But
It
was like, wow, that was a 70s crime movie to the max.
Well, either way, he basically also supports Mitt Romney. So,
people just said he was a Republican, so that would make sense.
Yeah. But basically, it's kind of like most celebrities you know automatically jump on the Obama campaign.
Yeah.
That it's just kind of, it's kind of cool that there's one person who's willing to stand by their beliefs that much. However,
Mitt Romney's a dick face.
Well, it's still, I'm saying about Clint Eastwood's beliefs. I'm not talking about Mitt Romney.
Yeah, well, Clint Eastwood's a dick face too then.
But basically he decides, he decides to, you know, do an opening speech that, you know, I'm pretty sure Mitt Romney's happy to have Clint Eastwood do an opening speech.
Yeah, I think that would probably be really fun. If I were him, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Which is cool until Clint Eastwood gets up and decides to ad-lib to a chair next to him with that, you know, he starts to pretend he's Obama. I've been seeing a little bit of it.
That's pretty cool.
It's a bit cringe-worthy.
Oh, really?
Because Clint Eastwood is not funny. And you're just kind of like, wow. In a way, it's kind of a good thing that this has become about you, because then Mitt Romney doesn't get much attention.
I kind of want to watch this now. This sounds fun.
But it's just kind of funny, you know, that it's become that sort of thing. Because he's clearly an old man now.
Yeah, he must be pretty old. He's like 70 so.
And he's not even that old man.
No, he's not that old.
He's like,
I don't know how old
he's not even the old man who, you know, tall and stuff and you're straight back and everything. He's clearly starting to hunch and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that level of old.
Yeah.
Like Benjamin Button beginning old.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's getting there. So
yep.
I thought that was interesting. That was interesting. Anything you noticed in the week?
No.
No?
No.
Nothing?
No.
No.
Avengers came out.
You got the box set.
Yeah, I got the Phase 1 box set. It was pretty cool.
And then someone went, yoink.
Yeah. Well, no, I offered to give it to him because
okay.
He hasn't seen, like, any of them except the Hulk.
Oh, I bet he's going to hate him. I'm just going to call him he because I don't want to reference him.
He saw Iron Man 1 and 2 and he liked them and they're the ones that are shit, so...
Okay.
It only goes uphill because they are. I'm sorry.
Iron Man is a good movie.
It's okay. It's all right.
I'll give you Iron Man 2.
If they changed the protagonist, it'd be a great movie, but they didn't. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Point is the protagonist.
Well, I'm
dick.
Sorry if I don't like the unlikable character. I'll try harder next time.
He is a likable character.
No, he's not.
His character. He's very funny and charming.
Yeah, that doesn't make you likable. There are tons of funny and charming dickheads.
Does like that guy from Dead Set. I love that guy.
Yeah, but he's you don't like him as in he's a good person.
Well, I like
that's a different kind of likable. And
well,
like
how
about this? When that guy, when he okay, spoilers if for anyone that hasn't seen Dead Set, which is for most people probably, but you should all go see it. When the arsehole guy dies, you're like fuck yeah, you better die because you hate him. He's your favorite character.
All right,
because
that was a bad example.
Yeah.
He is actually likable.
Well, I didn't think so. Okay, well, I didn't think so.
You just noted the character flaw and then...
That he's immoral and he, like, he doesn't care about any other person.
He became caring about other people.
Yeah, became.
Yes.
Yeah, important words. Became, as in not in the first movie.
No, in the first movie you did. Remember when he went to the village and blew, you know, killed all those guys that were attacking the village?
Yeah.
That was him becoming that.
He still, after that, continues to create weapons for war and continues to use women as sexual objects.
He wasn't using Pepper Potts as a sexual object.
He was using every other female in the entire cast as a sexual object.
He used one reporter.
I'm sorry. We've had this argument even on air, like, twice. So let's, like, not talk about it.
All right.
I just don't like Iron Man, okay? I'm sorry. Hey, I like him in The Avengers. He's cool in that. Because he's not an egomaniac and he's not a dickhead.
No, I'm still an egomaniac.
Okay, he's a bit of an egomaniac, but
he's
not
funny.
As much of an egomaniac.
All right, fine.
He's not nearly as
you also
much
got the Kubrick set, which is...
Yeah, I got... Well, that's not news.
That's
though.
Basically...
That came out years ago.
Yeah, but you got it.
Yeah, well, I bought the Stanley Kubrick collection, which was fun.
Which is basically all his movies.
Except the first two he did, which I don't know the names of.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was cool. I got it for $40, which is really cheap. And then the DVD case was broken when it arrived, so I got $15 discount, so yeah.
And now you have to find a case.
Yeah, now I've got to find... Somehow I've got to find a 10-disc DVD case, which doesn't really happen often. I've even looked on, like, specific websites that, like, specifically sell DVD cases, and I don't have any 10-disc DVD cases. So I don't really know what to do there. But I'll work it out.
It's not as bad as my giant-ass Bender head that's just sitting in my DVD shelf, and it's for the Futurama.
Yeah, no, but if that breaks, you'll just buy, like, I don't know, 100,000 little DVD cases, you know what I mean? Like, with this, it's that it's got the cool booklet and the sleeve and everything, and I don't want to, like, have it in a different package.
Well, you just have to
take... look ugly.
Well, then you just have to take out the sleeve thing out of it. That's what I did with some of my DVDs.
Yeah, but then it doesn't look pretty anymore. Hey, I bought it... I didn't buy it to support Stanley Kubrick, alright? He's fucking dead.
I didn't say
I'm not buying it because I want to support his movie so he can make another one. I'm buying it because it would look nice.
Dude, he'll come back from the dead. No, no.
If I didn't care about how it looked, then I would have fucking torrented it. That's the reason I bought it. So I want to have a pretty case.
Well, I gotta say, I got, like, 4 big-ass book, Invincible books in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Massive, like, the big hard, you know.
Yeah, I know, I bought them for you.
Ultimate Collection, which you were so kind about that. Oh, but they...
Wait, I only bought 3, though.
Yeah, you got 3, but look, I got number 4.
Oh, yeah, but that was ages ago, wasn't it?
Well,
she bought it, like, a year ago, and then it just gave it to you.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what it was?
It was, like, ages ago, but
yeah.
I don't care.
I
got them recently.
Yeah.
And so I just went through Invincible recently and got through, like... 4 giant Invincible books, and I'm still not, I'm not done yet.
So how many more do you not have?
I've got them all.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm now just gonna wait, like, till next year for the next one.
Oh, okay.
It's nice being, like, this far, like, up to date on a continuous series.
Yeah.
But I love that series.
So how many trades is that?
That's 7. 7 altogether.
No, but that's 7 books that you have now, right?
Yeah, 7
books. But so how many trades does that equate to?
That equate to... That's about, like, 13 or 14.
There's only 2 trades per book?
What trade? Oh, no, it's like, there's a lot of comic... Actually, I'm thinking about it, actually, because it's 7. I think they might actually be up into the 20s, maybe, even. I'm not sure, but there is a lot of, like, issue in there.
Uh-huh.
And I like it because they actually think about how it suits each, like, sort of arc
mm-hmm.
thing in the story. So, for instance, like, the first book is all about sort of the sun rising and, you know, daddy issues. I don't want to spoil it because it is such a good ending. Which you know about, I know you do, but... The
sun rising and then falling and the moon comes out.
The sun as in the father-son relationship. But it's... They sort of focus... You know what I mean. They focus,
yeah, I know what you mean.
And I love that series. Because it does such a good job of understanding what works about superheroes without devolving into the pointless parts about them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, they're willing to kill, but they won't just kill for the sake. They'll do it because, you know, death happens and it serves a purpose. Which is not...
So, like, the argument that I gave when we did the should superheroes kill thing?
In stories. I'm talking about whether, you know, I'm not talking about the other thing. Although they do get into is whether a superhero should kill or not at some point in the series.
Uh-huh.
Which is interesting. Because it's like... Because, I mean, okay, if you don't know, Invincible is this story about this kid who is just this normal dude, works at a fast food place and all that. But his dad is the world's greatest superhero. Basically Superman, right? Except no kryptonite weakness.
Oh, so like Superman.
Yeah. So basically a living fucking god that can't be taken down.
Yeah.
And, you know, he, you know, helps out their version of the Justice League and just goes on amazing adventures. And the first book's fun. First bit is fun because it's just kind of a thing with them. You know, they go home for dinner.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, oh, like the mother is like, oh, your father's probably not going to make it. Let's start having dinner. And then the father just goes, whoosh, and then he's just at dinner and they're eating. And they're just like, oh, hey, honey, how was your day? And it's just like a natural thing. It's like, and then the father's like about to be, he's like, oh, wait, what was that? And he's like, oh yeah, I just stopped like a flood in like Africa or something. And she's like, that's nice. And then she talks to the son. So what did you do today? Oh yeah, I took down this giant monster alien thing that was attacking the town. It's like, oh, that's nice. And they're just so mundane about superhero things that it's just so funny.
That's heaps awesome.
Yeah, because and it takes this sort of weird approach to superheroes where it's realistic, like, about things like how would these tropes actually work? Like, why would they work and how and such?
Mm-hmm.
But then it also has that moment where it's like, sometimes it'll go like, actually, this is probably what would happen if someone did that, you know?
Yeah.
And like, their version of Aquaman is just a fish, pretty much. With arms and legs, but it's a fish. It's just a fish. And he just sits on the throne room and he's just going like... Because there's nothing happening in the ocean. And then every time the Justice League goes like, finally, something to do. Or like, there's their like Green Lantern. It's just a guy who ingests this like spinning like metal thing. And then it like this blob thing encases him and he just gets like weird powers. But it's disgusting when he has to get out of them. Because he has to regurgitate his powers.
Oh.
So, you know, it has weird moments like that. But because this is a Kirkman book, you know, he has the same habit like Whedon or Bendis, where something totally fucked up happens at the end of a story. So it's just like where the character's going, shit, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, God, it does so many things right, and I love it for that fact. And I'm up to book 7 where they've just... Those things that started the series off where they were amazing have just been taken to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love the fact that it gets the continuous storyline properly. Because a lot of series, you'll notice, like, say, mainstream Marvel comics in DC, don't get the continuous flow thing right because there's such a change in writers. Mm-hmm. And you're just meant to be like, oh, this is just this week's boring and adventure and stuff. And there's pretty much nothing to do with the previous week's adventure.
Yeah.
Because everything that happened in the 80s that was done by Alan Moore is pretty much the only continuity that's standing. Everything else didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like... The only thing that's really lasted in Batman comics was Barbara Gordon's back being shot through, and that even that's been just, like, whatever.
Mm.
So I just, you know, it's just, it's nice to have a book that's aware of these changes and about the craziness of superhero life. And I'd say go give it a read. I'm definitely going to make you read it.
Yeah, I'll read it.
I'm lending it to you today, okay? You were reading.
I have so many things to do, and my HSC is coming up.
Oh, I need you to read it so badly.
Yeah, let me finish my HSC. I'll finish that in, like, end October. That's not far away.
Okay. But, yeah. And like, Walking Dead's another one. So good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, I've read some of Walking Dead, I know.
Yeah, it's so good. So, yeah. That's what I've been
doing. That was Henry's Invincible Corner, everybody.
Handy. In jokes.
Yeah, let's make jokes about other podcasts that are better than ours so that they'll, like, listen to our podcast and then want to know what that podcast is about, and then they'll just go to that podcast and forget about us because they're better than us.
That actually kind of happened when I went to IGN, and then I just kind of found this other podcast, and I was like, why am I going to IGN? I'll just go to this other podcast. Yeah. And I'm not referencing this other podcast because they got enough. They got enough, like, pimping. On their own terms.
Yeah, I want to know who they are now.
You want to?
Yeah.
These other guys that you go to every week.
Oh, did you find them through IGN?
No, I just, it was kind of that weird podcast period. Although I've kind of given up on most podcasts. I just don't have the time. I don't hate them, I just don't have the time.
Fuck you, podcasts are brilliant.
They are brilliant, I don't have the time. I can't upload them on my iPod anymore because they've got a weird process. At least with the side we go to. Anyway.
The Spill. Like, spill.com, everybody.
Yeah, spill.com. It's just...
Don't forget us. Just go there.
They have, like, a weird, like, process with their, like, iTunes thing.
I put all their stuff on my iPod and it works fine.
Yeah. I'll try and fix it soon, recently. How much of, like, their, like, recent stuff have they put up?
They put it up, like, an hour after it goes up on the site, usually.
All right, I'll see if I can get that on my iPod. Because I do really, you know... That's probably the only way I can really listen to it, is on the way home.
Luckily, one of my jobs is a job where I don't have to interact with anybody else, so I can just listen to podcasts while doing my job.
I can't do that. I can't get the door like, wait. Anyway, back to what we were doing.
Yeah. So I have like 4 hours a week where I am working and I can just listen to podcasts, which is heaps amazing.
Lucky motherfucker.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what else has been happening? Dude, you've been playing... What have you been doing lately?
I've been playing Dark Souls, and I've also been playing Dark Souls. And then when I'm not playing Dark Souls, I'm playing Dark Souls. And
so I'll tell you what I know about Dark Souls, and then you can tell me I'm wrong.
All right, go.
Okay, so what I understand about Dark Souls is you... I'm not going to get into the backstory stuff.
Yeah, no, there isn't.
Okay, so basically you play this dude... Who wakes up in a dungeon or something, right? Basically, in average.
Yeah, you're good so far.
Okay,
you got it.
Cool. And then he starts walking through the dungeon, like, what the fuck is happening around him?
Yeah, you got it.
And starts meeting some monsters.
Yeah, you got it.
And And then at some point, mm-hmm. be it the first couple or the, you know, because the monsters are really tough.
Yeah.
He ends up dying.
Oh, no, you wake up in the beginning of the game and you're already undead.
Okay.
So that's not a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you end up dying at some point.
Well, you die more or less immediately in the game. I mean, the first enemy you encounter is a giant boss.
Yeah.
You just walk into this room and then this boss just jumps down from somewhere and just straight up slaughters you in a second.
Yeah.
That's like your first interaction with anything
and,
else.
And then you die a lot and you just want to win.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary of the game.
That's pretty much all I can see. And yeah. I find that so appealing for some reason.
Yeah. You should get it. You should really get it.
I will get it when I have more time.
No,
I know.
No, you should get
no,
it.
When
no,
I...
no, you should quit your job that you just got and just play Dark Souls. Trust me, it's more productive.
Okay. So tell me though. Okay, so you... In your experience, how did you find out about Dark Souls? Through the general sense of knowing, I know.
Through, like, watching YouTube videos and being, like, part of the gaming world.
Okay.
And then it was a game that was only on... Well, actually, Demon's Souls came out, like, 2008 or 9.
Yeah.
Which is the first game. And Dark Souls is the spiritual successor, with quotation marks. In that the gameplay is the same. Well, not the same, but, you know, from the same ideas, fundamental ideas.
Yeah.
But the story and the world are not connected.
Okay.
Although there is a fan theory that they are, but let's not get into that.
There's always like parallel worlds or something.
Yeah. So I would maybe have bought it on PlayStation. No, actually, no, I didn't. I didn't want to. I was like, this is a game that I really want to play, but I don't want to play it on PlayStation because I don't use my PlayStation ever, right?
Yeah.
And then they...
Well, we've hit that point where it's just kind of like, they've waited too long with the consoles and we're just kind of bored with that current one.
And I just don't use my PlayStation because my computer is in my room, and that means I don't have to leave my room ever.
I do console because it's just in my room.
Yeah. So then there were rumors going around, like people were signing this big petition that it was going to come to PC, and I was like, oh, I'm going to sign that petition. And then there was a long waiting period where nobody announced anything, and then they were like, all right, yeah, it's happening. PC version is coming. And we were like, yes. And then we waited for the PC version to come out, and then it came out last week on Friday. And then that's all I've been doing since it came out.
Okay.
Playing.
I actually find those petitions funny because they're trying to do another one with Journey, which...
Oh, really?
They are.
I want to sign. Is it getting a lot of fixed signatures?
Well, okay, the difference between...
The difference is that it's not... Like, Dark Souls wasn't signed to Sony or Microsoft. It was just... They just put it on there because that's what they do.
Yeah, Sony... But Sony,
Sony
owned Journey, and
would first of all, they would need like millions of signatures before they would even consider it.
And they're not going to do it because.
But I want to sign it anyway.
Journey is kind of an argument to buy a PS3, at least a little bit, which is why they won't do that.
Yeah. But so Dark Souls came out, and there was a lot of worry about it being a bad PC port because From Software is a Japanese developer, and Japanese developers don't even know computers can be used for gaming machines. They're like, it doesn't even
exist.
They're all
about consoles.
It doesn't exist as a concept in Japan. It's like, it's just, you know, just pour some drink on a podcast, not a big deal. And so...
adds a nice classy element to it.
Classy element.
Even though it's solo.
Yeah. So
I should get the scotch out just to be all classy for the sake. Anyway.
Do you have any scotch?
Yeah.
Oh.
I have whiskey, but...
So people were worried that it was going to be a shit port because they were pretty much telling everybody themselves that it was a shit port. They were like, we don't have a fucking clue what we're doing. This is really hard.
Okay.
And so people were worried as shit. Then it came out, it wasn't a big deal at all.
Okay. Because you are dealing with, like, analog controllers... You know, crossing over to a different, you know, just a keyboard and stuff, which can work. I'm not
every developer should be able to do that.
I'm not saying it can't work. I'm just saying that, you know, you have to.
No, but then the problem isn't like working out a control scheme. That's not the problem. The problem is they don't understand how to port a console version of a game onto a computer. That's like fundamental knowledge that any game developer should have. That's not difficult.
Mm, yeah.
That's like understanding like basic coding and shit. Not that I know anything about this, but from, like, that's what
it's so easy.
No, but if that was my profession for a living, right, was to know how to do that kind of thing, I might have to know how to do that kind of thing.
You know, there are all kinds of careers where you think, well, this guy should be able to do this, but...
Yeah, no, but I'm sorry, it's unacceptable. Like, it just is. However, the port came out, and it was fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
The only problem that it had was that for some reason they didn't know how to, like, upscale the resolution or something, which is, like, a fundamental easy thing to do. And so what happened, of course, was that 20 minutes after the game was released, a guy had modded it and made an upscale of the resolution so that it works fine, which kind of proves how easy it is, right?
Yeah.
It was done in 20 minutes. Then he released it online, and now pretty much everyone that's playing it on PC is playing it with this mod. Because
like
it's
you?
Pretty much yeah, I'm playing it with this mod.
Okay.
And now that the mod has been updated a few times and everything like that, the game runs exactly the same as it does on Xbox, essentially. The only other problem with the port is that they couldn't be bothered to actually change like the button icons in game to interact with things. So if you like walk up to a door, it'll say like press A to open door, but instead you have to press Q rather than A because they couldn't be bothered to just change.
That
the
happens
button.
A lot. Although I think in Meat Boy they were doing it as a joke, but they were just kind of even the intro says. Gamepad or computer.
Yeah, no,
it's like
this was
here's
just,
a hint.
This is just because
better.
I mean they made a fucking expansion pack for this for the PC version of the game, right? But they couldn't be bothered just quickly changing the little picture that it comes up with when it says press whatever, right?
Right.
That would take like a minute.
Okay.
But whatever. I didn't even notice it anymore.
I don't know. You hear about basic things in like game design and you think they're simple, but then I hear about like I don't know tiny things like oh we're gonna change like. I don't know, the color of a tree, and then the whole world, like, fucks up because this code interacts with this one, and this weird...
Yeah, I know, but it's like, I'm sorry, it shouldn't take very long to do that. It shouldn't.
I don't know,
you've just got to change a little image. That's all you have to do. But whatever. I don't even notice it anymore, right? Once I figured out what all the controls are, I was like, alright, I'm good to go.
Okay.
I still don't know what all the controls are, because when you go into options and you check the controls, it doesn't actually tell you all the controls. So... Good job, guys.
Right.
So I still don't know how to use gestures, and I still don't know how to navigate certain parts of the menus.
Okay.
But whatever.
Okay, I know it's not the most important thing, but okay. So you're playing the game, and outside of the thing of just going around killing monsters and figuring out how to kill monsters, do you have, like, a purposing? Because, I mean, Journey has a purpose, but it doesn't tell you,
Okay, you're told at the beginning of the game that you have to ring these two bells...
which you haven't done, I guess.
I got one of them. I don't know where the other one is. I'm guessing that there's more to it than that because you ring the first bell like really early on.
Mm.
So I'm guessing that you ring the two bells and then you continue to do something else. But essentially, you're just trying to like bring the sun back or something. I don't know. I mean, the sun is there, but I don't really know. The thing with the lore is that you have to really, like, search in the game to know what's actually going on in the world. It's not like Skyrim where you just walk down the road and the fucking game just, like, spits narrative out at you. You know what I mean? The game, you know how the game just, like, throws books in your face?
Oh, yeah, you just
and
kinda...
all the NPCs, like, tell you things. It's like, oh, did you know there's a civil war going on? It's not like that. It's really subtle with its lore, and so I don't know much about the lore.
Well, it's kind of like, I mean, it's... better at it than Fable, but still it's that same level of I have a disassociation, I guess, with the world because it just feels way too obvious that it's being told to me, you know. It's not I don't know.
Yeah, it's Dark Souls is very much like it deliberately doesn't tell you things because the entire game is really about like learning and discovery and that kind
of
thing.
I mean, I love stories where they just sort of you figure it out on your own. Like Dark Knight Rises, where you didn't know Catwoman was actually Catwoman, you just figured it out. You're like, that's Catwoman.
Yeah.
Or like Community.
Did
where...
they even call her Catwoman?
No.
In the entire movie?
No.
No.
Or like Community, where you don't know any of their jobs. They don't even reference their lives. You just know them
I never even noticed that.
Yeah.
Huh.
They like referenced Annie. It took a season before they referenced Annie's life was kind of shit because she lives in a bad.
Yeah, because she was like a drug addict and shit.
Yeah.
That's heaps funny. I remember that.
It's just slowly like, wow, your life's kind of fucked.
Anyway, fuck Community. We're talking about Dark Souls here.
But anyway, I'm just saying, like, I like that when, you know, it sounds cool that they did that.
Yeah. So, like, the only exposition that I've really gotten from the game so far is by reading item descriptions. That's, like, all there is. What are you clicking? Stop clicking.
Clicking.
Making
sure things are working.
Things are working. You see the little line continues to move to the right, and see the numbers at the bottom continue to move upwards.
We know so much about computers.
Hey, no.
When I can see
the timer is increasing, therefore we continue recording.
When I, like, get other things sorted out and I can actually, you know, pay Julian to do, like, stuff for us, this will be so much better.
Yeah.
I'll probably invest in actual...
Once we,
programs and stuff.
Get a work... we don't really need that.
I don't know.
Once we get,
I'm going to get a PC, so I'm probably not going to. I'm not going to have GarageBand on that.
I'm pretty sure you can download GarageBand on PC because
It's so handy. It just does it.
Yeah, but once we get a website going, we'll just pay Julian to be the guy that does things.
Yeah,
he can, that can be a little job for him.
Because I want this to evolve to that point. This whole thing.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know what's happening.
Yeah.
In our secret plans, but I do want to take this to that level. But like Nathan Fillion understands about his acting career, we're just not there yet.
Yeah.
Although that was so cool. He did an interview because he recently, if you didn't know, Nathan Fillion did an interview because he always gets asked about whether he's going to be in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathan Fillion is the most humble man. He just said, look, I don't want to get into the financial thing about the whole movie, but they're not going to hire me to be in Avengers 2. I'd be grateful if they were because he's very grateful to Joss Whedon for his career.
Do you think he might be in that S.H.I.E.L.D. show?
I would be so grateful for anything involving Nathan Fillion, actually. But he basically said, look, I'm not on that level, but I'm getting there. But movies are about art meets finance at some point, and you have to deal with the financial side of it. At least,
but wouldn't Nathan Fillion be pretty cheap?
Cheap, yeah, but they...
Like, in comparison to other actors.
Yeah, but, like, Chris Evans is a good example of a character that gets appeal, but doesn't cost a lot. That sort of thing. You know, you want...
Fillion does that. They don't need to make him, like... A superhero, he can just be a character.
Well, we're talking about studios that could get more bankable stars.
Nathan Fillion's pretty fucking bankable.
He's bankable, just not as bankable as a bigger star.
But who the fuck knew who Chris Hemsworth was before he existed in Thor? Nobody. He's not bankable.
But that's because Whedon really pushed for him. I'm just saying that's... I respect a man for being able to be aware of
it. Yeah, no, I agree, but I think Nathan Fillion is pretty... Like, inexpensive and a known person, very much so.
I can't,
especially among the crowd that is going to go see Marvel movies.
As much as I'm not trying to defend this year. I'm simply saying this is how they think.
Yeah. But anyway, can we not talk about Nathan Fillion?
Okay,
he isn't in Dark Souls. There's, like, no voice acting in that game. Well, there is, but there's very little.
All right, but yeah.
Anyway, the game is fundamentally about challenge and, like, learning through challenge. And so... The game is, like, super mega hard the whole time, right? But it's never unfair, which is very nice of it.
Mm.
It's always, like, you come up to an enemy, you don't know what they're going to do, you get raped a few times, you learn what they do, then you rape them every single time. That's pretty much how the game works.
Okay.
It's really cool. It's, like, everything looks really intimidating and is really intimidating and kills you immediately the first time you see it. And then once you learn how it functions, it's really easy to fight. That's why the game is so cool. It's an RPG, right?
Yeah.
But it's not a stat-based RPG.
Hmm.
Well,
that's kind of the problem, I think, with a lot of games, is they are way too stat-dependent.
Yeah. Well, no, there are still stats in it. Like,
well, yeah,
you level up your skills and shit, but it's like, it doesn't matter, really.
Hmm.
What matters far more than your skills and how high they are is how good you are.
Hmm.
And, like, you can kill a particular boss... while having a strength of 10, and you can also kill the boss while having a strength of 19, but it'll just take you a few more hits because you won't do as much damage per hit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's fundamentally about being able to actually, like, tackle the enemy in the first place. And the game is just really, really, really enjoyable, because you always face new challenges the entire time. You're always facing something new, and you're always like, how do I beat this?
Yeah.
And it's very rare that you ever feel like it's impossible, right?
Right.
And it's very rare that you ever feel like it's the game's fault that you're losing. Except for this one boss. I fucking hate this one boss.
Oh, there's always that one boss.
But the thing is, it's not even a boss. It's a mini-boss, but I just can't even get close to it.
Well, it's like Through the Fire and Flames on Guitar Hero. You just know you're not going to do it. The game is being a dickhead, and then you see a guy online do it, and you're like, motherfucker.
Yeah, no, but I'm sure if I looked at someone do this particular boss online... I'd be like, oh, why didn't I think of that? That's really easy. And then I'd go and do it and it'd be really easy. You know what
I mean? But then you'd feel bad.
Yeah. The thing is, like, you need to... It's just, there's something about that boss that I'm not, like, fundamentally understanding about it.
Well, and I mean...
Once I do, then I'll be, like, easy, it wouldn't be a problem.
What I've found with games is, and I love, this is probably one of my favorite things about games. It's the reason why games are so unique, is that they're really good at making challenges awesome. And the way they do it is they make you understand at some point that you fundamentally need to change yourself to be able to do this as a person. You know, even if you go to the most basic original games of like the platformers, you have to, you realize that, wait, I can't get over this fire thing because I'm not, I'm doing this too quickly. I'm doing this reaction thing and I need to fundamentally change that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing Dark Souls does that.
Really. Dark Souls is all about that.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is that like most of the time when you kill a boss, the reward is just killing the boss.
Yeah.
You get like a bit of loot, but it's nothing special, right? It's like, oh, look at this shield that's not as good as the shield I currently have.
Yeah.
It's always that kind of thing.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, I've got a bit of money now, that's nice, but it'll just go away next time I die anyway. Mm. The reward for killing things is, holy shit, I just killed that. Whoa. That's amazing. And it has this really nice, actually, like, imagery-based reward where every time you do, like, a big thing, it'll, like, give you sunlight. Like, just in the background, you'll go to, like, a new sunny area.
Mm.
Or you'll, like, get to the top of a tower after you've killed a boss, and then there's, like, this big vista of sunniness. And it's, like, sun is used as a reward in the game, which is pretty cool. Like, you don't, there's no, like, tangible reward there. It's just, like, this is a pretty image of, and the sun is comforting, because the game is, like, pretty dark. So when there's, like, a sunny place, you're, like, oh, this is really nice. I'm just going to stay here for the next hour and just wander. But, yeah, it's a really, really cool game. And one of the coolest things about the game is its level design. It's, like, the most amazingly interconnected world I've ever seen in my life.
Mm.
Like, you go, even in the fucking tutorial they do it, right? It's just amazing. Like, the entire time. Everywhere you go, you always, like, find connections to places that you've already been. And you're like, whoa, I just went to that place, like, a few bosses ago. And now I'm back there again through this little pathway that I found, this secret pathway, right?
Hmm.
And it's so impossible to even comprehend how difficult it must have been to create this world, because, like, there are times where, like, things just line up, like, by centimeters that just make things, like, so amazing. And it's like, wow, that must have been so difficult to, like, simply create. Because it's, the game world isn't, like, it's an open world, right, in quotation marks, but it's not like a sandbox, you know what I mean? It's not just like, here's a big fucking plonk of land and just do something in it. It's like an interconnected, multi-leveled kind of sphere. It's not so much like the world is a globe, the world is spherical, but people used to think that the world was flat. Games before Dark Souls are flat, and Dark Souls is spherical. That's what it's like.
Oh, okay.
Think about, it's like, it's not so much a game sandbox as it is, like, a game web. Everything is just, like, a web, and it's all connected.
Well, yeah, I mean, games always think in flat.
Yeah, but, oh my god, it's just so, it's, it feels so rewarding when you, like, you go, okay, here's an example. This is, like, probably the first big example of this, right?
Mm.
Is you go to the starting area is just, like, this little hub, and there's, like, five different directions that you can choose to go, right? Yeah. And pretty much, if you go in any direction, you die immediately, except for this one, which is obviously the one that you're meant to go to, right? Because it's where the weak enemies are at.
Yeah.
So you go there, and you just, and it starts off, you kind of go into this castle place, right? And it's like a little medieval village type looking place. And you kind of just, you kind of realize it, but you don't really realize it as much as it's happening, that you're continually kind of going upstairs, you know what I mean? You're always moving up the top of this giant castle, right? And then eventually you've gone so far up that it didn't even occur to you how far up you've gone. And then you get to this church at like the peak of this giant mountain that this castle is like sitting upon. And you go into this church and there's an elevator in the church and you're like, I wonder where this goes. And then you go down the elevator, right? And the elevator goes down like a few hundred meters, right?
Mm.
And then it gets to the bottom and you come out and you realize you're in the starting location again. And you realize that this entire time, you've been going directly up, but where you ended up is directly above where you began. Like, a meter, right? It's, like, literally on exactly the same square meter as where you began, but it's just, like, a few hundred meters higher. It's so cool. And that kind of thing happens, like, throughout the entire game. You're always finding these little doors that open up to this other place, and you're like, whoa, this place is right next to that place? I never would have thought that was the case. And it's really, really, really mind-blowing, like, how difficult it must have been to create that. And just how good that idea is. Like, no one's ever even come up with that idea before.
Mm.
And it's just so rewarding. Like, that in itself is just a reward as well, when you find shortcuts to places, and it's like, wow, that just saves so much time.
I gotta say, I mean, it sounds really good, and I wish I could play it, because my only amazing experience recently, which is, I'm gonna say equal, is Journey.
Yeah.
Which just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I've never played a game where I felt that close with someone. I mean, I already talked about it in the previous episode, but I didn't think I went into detail about it, because I didn't want to spoil it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going
to
go...
Dude, I've listened to like a 1-hour-long podcast about Journey. I know everything about that game.
Okay, you got to link to that later. But anyway, because I want to know more about it. But, okay, if you guys...
Actually, I listened to 2 1-hour podcasts on that game.
All right, I'm not going to feel bad about any spoilers. But if you guys don't know, Journey is a recent game made by That Game Company, who are... one of my favorite companies at the moment. They're kind of like Christopher Nolan or something, where it's like they haven't made a lot, but what they've made is just, even if it's not...
Christopher Nolan's made a lot.
Okay.
He's made like 9 movies.
Yeah, but
not...
Okay, fine. David Fincher?
David Fincher's
like, Neil Blomkamp, that's it. Neil Blomkamp, that's a good one.
Who the fuck is he?
He made District Man.
Oh, that guy's made like 1 movie.
Yeah. Although That Game Company's made 2 other games.
They made like 4 games.
No, they made 2 others.
They made like Cloud and Flow and... Flower and Journey, right?
I don't know if they made Cloud.
I'm pretty sure they made some Cloud games.
They made 3 for Sony, and those are their...
Flow isn't a Sony game.
Yeah, it is.
Flow's on PC.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because it's part of the big...
I know it's on PlayStation as well, but it's on PC.
Okay. Well, that's actually interesting for Journey's hope. Anyway, Journey is a game by That Game Company, and it is more or less the... You can think of it in a great many number of ways, but it's more or less a metaphor for life and death. But more like, it takes the hero's journey, if you haven't heard about it. The book by Joseph Campbell.
Dude, that's not a book, that's a trope.
No. I'm talking about they actually took the book.
Uh-huh.
And mapped the game around the different parts of the book. They actually specifically thought about it. It wasn't just, oh, this is just a trope and we're, you know, doing a general fun hero's journey. No, they actually thought about the journey and they thought about the different pieces and what they meant. And they actually took that whole thing of what we see in games and combined it with this tomb, you know, this work to create something that's mapped around what people generally experience throughout history and what we see in mythology to create this game that is basically a unifying game. It is a game that is a core experience that we all somehow feel, even if we don't talk about it. It's this is beyond some scientific explanation. This is just something we all feel inside of us. And when we see these types of stories, it's sort of that weird connection in our minds and what we find. And Journey takes you through that. It somehow understands the fundamentals of how the mind works when it enjoys a story or an interaction more specifically. And it takes you with someone else, if you're lucky. And it makes you feel one of the closest bonds you'll possibly feel in your life. And I say that understanding the importance of that. And it does it through simple symbols, simple art, and simple, well, I should say, not just art, visuals, sound, music.
Yeah.
And it makes it feel like a lost civilization with just making up its own thing
mm-hmm.
in simple ways. And it's all, like, what's funny about it is there's nothing, it's very repetitive, you know. There are, like, the symbols aren't so unique to you. You don't have anything unique about you in this game. Everyone else is experiencing the same thing. They've got the exact same things. Like, you start off the game with one symbol that's your sound thing. So when you press a button, you create a sound, and then everyone would, you know, the other person will see you make a sound. They'll see a little white box that'll have your little symbol. For, like, your playthrough. But if you start the journey again, you'll get a new symbol and a new thing. And, okay, you'll add a couple symbols to your little cloak thing. But that's about it. And what's interesting about that is that creates a distance from that specific playthrough. That makes that playthrough unique. It makes it something interesting and different from what you previously experienced in well, in any other, which makes any journey you have with someone something unique.
Yeah.
It's a game that does things that are incredible. And yeah, that's my only experience that I can say that I've had recently.
Yeah.
Although not to be, you know, not to divulge my thing, although Dark Souls, I hear, does a similar thing. We are going to take a small break. We'll be right back. Okay, and we're back, as I said at the start of the episode. Sorry about that. Someone, it was interrupting us.
Yeah.
Phoebe.
They're gone now.
They're
in the closet now. Their throat is slit.
We handled them.
Yeah. They won't interrupt us again.
Yeah, because that's how we handle things in the hood.
In the hood. The hood.
Like that Leprechaun movie. What? Leprechaun in the hood.
That sounds like a bad movie.
It's like the third one in the... It's that point in any horror movie franchise where they just give up and do something stupid.
I mean, there's more than one movie called Leprechaun in the hood?
No, there are just movies like Jason Goes to New York, where he doesn't actually go to New York, but for like only like 10 minutes of the movie. But the movie's called Jason Goes to New York, or Jason Goes to Hell, or Jason X, where he's in space, and he's a cyborg.
Okay.
So Leprechaun in the Hood is where it's literally just the Leprechaun franchise, but it's with black.
There's a Leprechaun franchise?
Yeah. Well, there are two. There's always a... It becomes a franchise once there's a sequel.
So there are two?
Yeah, there are two.
Leprechaun and Leprechaun in the Hood.
Leprechaun, I think it's Leprechaun 2, and then in the Hood. It's in the Hood. You gotta get that duh.
In the Hood.
Yeah.
Alright. Right on, Leprechaun movie.
It's gangster, man.
Gangster movie.
Gangster movie.
Never, ever gonna see it.
Hey, did you hear recently that they're gonna be, like, making a Legend of Korra movie, which I'm sure you don't care about that
for. Oh, anyway. Really?
Yeah. Nickelodeon, like, Legend.
Live action?
No.
Is that worked out
the last time? No, animated. They learned their lesson from last time, which is cool. And, like, a S.H.I.E.L.D. show for Joss Whedon.
Yeah, I'm pretty geeked for that. That's gonna be fun.
Mostly because it's Joss Whedon and less on the S.H.I.E.L.D. thing.
Hey, I'm pretty geeked for S.H.I.E.L.D. That sounds cool.
I like a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie. I love a Joss Whedon TV show. Just because it's Joss Whedon.
Yeah, I guess.
Dude, I'm watching Firefly now. That man can do no wrong.
No wrong at all?
Except maybe Don't.
Except Bill House.
I haven't even seen it, but apparently that's the one.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, but it's just funny.
Half of me doesn't want to see it just because I'm like, this man is so perfect. I don't want to see him do wrong.
Mm.
You know? Like Buffy. Buffy was so good.
But there were bad parts of Buffy, weren't there?
There were.
Bad parts. Bad parts.
Bar parts.
There were parts where bars came along and played their lutes in the inn.
There were bars. There were bar parts in Buffy. But there was also bad parts, but the good outweighed the bad.
Yeah. I'm sure it did.
It was like 7 seasons. You can't expect a show to be like consistently good. Even Lost was bad at points.
Yeah, there were a few episodes that were bad, particularly in the last season.
But then we're just like, shit, we need to explain stuff! I'm happy they didn't go full explanation on the ending, because although I liked the episode with Richard, I can see why people would...
Yeah, dude, this is mad spoiler territory, by the way.
An episode about one of the characters.
Yeah, but just saying, don't go talking about the last season of the show.
Alright. There was that episode with the character that was in the last season where it was all about him that went against formula.
Yeah, that was a boring episode.
I loved it. I loved it.
And the...
Plus that actor, just, I love that actor.
He's a really good actor. And the episode about...
Bat-Manuel.
About the two characters.
Oh, that was lame.
That was the most atrocious episode.
That was just kind of like, why are we getting this religious shit?
Why do we even give a shit about this? This is lame.
But that guy that plays Richard?
Yeah.
Funny story, you know how he plays the mayor in Dark Knight, right?
Yeah.
Well, years ago, he was in this show called The Tick. And The Tick was a superhero parody show. And you know who he played?
Who?
Bat-Manuel. Or was Spanish. And he was basically the Spanish Batman.
That's pretty cool.
So whenever someone's like, some people reference like his role in that, they're just like, it's Bat-Manuel.
That's pretty cool. I'm into that.
I just want to watch The Tick, because it just...
What is it?
It's just a superhero show starring Patrick Warburton.
As the fuck is that?
He played Kronk in The Emperor's New Groove.
So, what does he look like?
He's...
The Emperor's New Groove is...
Big, bulky guy, but he's funny as well.
Alright.
He has a very funny voice.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Not my bad impression. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of those wacky superhero parody shows that just kind of go off the rails like Adventure Time or Regular Show.
Oh, no, I want to see it.
Not as, like, not more Regular Show, less Adventure Time.
Oh, no, I don't want to see it.
Oh, come on.
No, I love Regular Show's great. I'm just making a joke.
Okay.
Taking the piss.
Never take the piss, dude. See, people say that, like, it's funny, but then I think about it, it's like, how would you take the piss? Just grab the jar of piss and...
Yeah, but that's, like, most figures of speech, if you do them literally, they're like, that's fucking ridiculous.
Like, bird is the word. It's a thing.
Yeah, that's not... You can't, like, verbalize that.
Dude, you are birding the word
right
now.
You can't bird the word. The bird just is the word.
That's because the bird is the word. Okay. Anyway. I just love that joke. Because it's so... I hated that joke at first on Family Guy. And then I just kind of watched a clip of it going so long that it just becomes funny because you just watched it for that long.
Yeah.
Oh. But anyway. Anyways.
Any direction except for...
Except for one.
One of them. Oh, hey, I didn't even mean to do that.
You're making a hate on One Direction joke even though you just don't care. It's not a hate thing.
It didn't occur to me until I said it, what I just said. I was like, oh, I just said that. Huh.
When One Direction, the hate for One Direction happened, I was just kind of tired of hating on pop bands.
I was like, well, they're sure just as bad as every other pop band. I don't see the special thing about them.
But it's like, everyone is so incessant about their hating.
Well, no, I think it's just because the people that like them so openly as well, like them so obnoxiously that as a response, the people that hate them will hate them as obnoxiously as well. That's just how it works.
Now. Oh.
Who even cares, dude?
Who cares?
Like, it's... Didn't... They were on X Factor.
I don't...
Who gives a fuck what happens?
I don't care about hating them. I just find it annoying when
Yeah, no, but it's like, you need to tell the fanboys, well, mainly girls, to shut the fuck up before the haters.
Me and fanboys.
Yeah, there's a few. But like,
It's funny because I saw this girl who was like, I was just walking down the street, and then this girl walked past me, and then there's this guy next to her, and she's like, you know, a big, tall girl, not like fat, just big, you know.
Yeah.
And she has this like guy feeling. It looks like one of the guys from One Direction. He's got like, you know, there's nothing really definable about him. He's just wearing some jumper thing, and then he's got hair like them, and he looked like a poodle, like she was pulling a poodle along, and I was just like looking at him like, wow, it's not just like she has the balls in this relationship, she probably peppers you like a poodle, doesn't she? She just like cleans you when you get home and stuff.
Hey, I'd be alright with that.
And he just leaves you in like your kennel outside or something.
Oh, that'd be lame. Dude, poodles don't get kennels outside. Poodles are like the most pampered animals.
Okay,
they get to sleep in the same bed as the owner. Come on. They're fucking
okay,
poodles.
But they're like at the end.
Yeah.
They're like sit at
but
the end.
Still
like,
on, they're still
curled,
on the bed.
Curled in a ball.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, dude, I've been watching these recent episodes of Breaking Bad. I'm not going to say anything, but...
What, is One Direction in it?
No.
Well, what's this got to do with poodles?
Because there was like... I just want to talk about Breaking Bad. I don't care about the unconnected nature of it. I just... Breaking Bad is so good.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of the fact
Season
that it's so good.
Season 5 is so good.
Yeah, no, I need to start watching it.
Like, watching it through ways.
Yeah, no, I will watch it. I mean, I want to get to the finale at the same time everyone else does, so it doesn't spoil it for me.
Yeah, because you know, it's like Lost.
How many episodes are there?
It's like, I think 8 at the moment. Shouldn't be too wild.
8. And how many will there be?
It's going to be like 14 or 16 this season.
Well, I better hurry up then. It's going to end soon.
Yeah. It's usually 13, so you got more time, but Breaking Bad's like one of those shows. It's become a cultural hit phenomenon thing.
Yeah.
So... It's gonna get spoiled. It's gonna become a thing where you don't want to get caught out by some douchebag right now. You're like, Heisenberg is this or something, you know?
Yeah.
Which I hate. But, I mean, fucking
Walt.
I don't
know who Heisenberg is.
Yeah, but like, I mean like Dead or Alive or something, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I
No one even calls him Heisenberg. What are you fucking talking
he
about?
He is Heisenberg.
He doesn't call himself Heisenberg anymore. He hasn't done that since, like, season
yeah,
two.
But, I mean, you just kind of know he's Heisenberg.
He's Walter White to me.
Dude, he is such
he's
a
not
dick.
Heisenberg.
He's such a dick.
He's an asshole. He's still called Walter White.
No. Like, you know what I mean. There's that character transformation.
Oh, yeah. But he's still called Walter... I know what you mean, but everyone calls him Walter White.
I don't know. He's getting to that weird point.
Spoilers,
even,
I don't know what happens.
Get to it, man, because it's just kind of like, he is just such a dick. Like, I love it, because season 2, that was the season where Walter starts becoming a dick, but I'm still like, yeah, he has some moments. You know.
Yeah, now, you kind of like, you just kind of like, fight yourself. You're like, he's good, but he's bad. But he's good, but he's bad. And now you're just like, no, he's just fucking evil.
And I love it, because everyone like, talks about, like, Skylar and her relationship, and I'm just like, look, guys, I don't like Skylar, but come on!
Yeah, I mean...
He let a girl die, okay? He suffocated a woman. He just killed Figgle in cold blood. The only reason Jesse's alive now is because he just has a weird need to control Jesse.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, Skylar's a total bitch, though.
Oh, she's a bitch, but
yeah.
They actually use her really well in season 5.
Alright.
Like, I mean, you're not even annoyed her anymore. You're just kind of like, whoa. But I'm not going to say
it. It makes me angry. I just look at her and I'm like, fuck you. You're a bitch.
When she found out, you were just like, wow, you are way too moral.
Spoilers! Jesus Christ.
Okay, fine. But, like, she's just a bit morally annoying. You know. But I'm just going to season... I'm just going to season 5. I'm talking about earlier season.
Yeah, I know, but people haven't seen it.
Okay. Anyway.
The only time it's okay to spoil something is if it's Batman or Avengers, because actually everyone's seen that.
Yeah.
Even though Batman did pretty bad in box office.
I'm kind of happy about that.
Yeah.
I
actually, well, when I say that, I mean it did like better than like every other movie in the world. But it didn't.
Well, it made like $1 billion.
Hunger Games got more money in box office than Batman.
Well, it's made $1 billion, I think.
No, Avengers has made $1 billion.
No,
Dark Knight Rises has made like 400,000.
No, I think it made $1 billion.
No, it didn't.
Hmm. Well, either way, I just love it that that was...
I mean, not 400,000, 400 million, sorry. But...
400,000 million. Okay, guys, we need to
That's
think
like...
about what we do.
No, no, but... It
That's like what they
Avengers,
made.
Avengers hit $1 billion and it was like a massive milestone.
That's
it
like
like a month after it came out. Dark Knight Rises is like doing not actually really selling tickets anymore.
Which, I'm happy about
that.
Yeah,
because it was not very good.
It was, no. It had, like, yeah, we won't get
We've
into...
We talked about that before.
Yeah, but it was, yeah. Oh, well. I'm happy Avengers are doing well. Going to get more stuff. And Thor Dark World, which is going to be the coolest one.
I'm pretty geeked for Thor Dark World.
Like, man...
I really kind of wanted a Hulk movie, though.
I do, but he's become, like, the Avengers franchise. Like, the movies are going to probably be more about his story and everyone else just kind of... has a thing, which I'm in the middle about.
Although they've talked about maybe putting one into phase 3 because everyone loved him in the Avengers so much.
Yeah, but probably not phase 2.
No, well, they've announced all of phase 2, so he's not going to be in phase 2. But he may very well be in phase 3.
Well, I know the main heroes...
What are you fucking doing?
I'm checking where I put my glass.
What the fuck are you... Why would you put your glass behind the table?
I thought it fell down behind the table. Behind the table, it fell down. Okay, whatever. Anyway.
Your glass is there.
What are the other parts of phase 2? Because I know the...
Captain America 2 for...
Well, yeah,
Thor
I know.
2,
I know
Galaxy, and Iron Man 3. That's it.
Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought it was like another one. I guess, okay.
No.
Whatever. But, yeah. I mean, I'm interested in Iron Man 2 only if they go with the Extremis storyline.
You mean 3?
Iron Man 3, yeah, right.
People are saying they're going to put MODOK in it. That'd be sick.
Oh, that'd be so awesome. Mandarin and MODOK in the same movie?
Yeah.
You're just watching it mainly to see how can they make me take it seriously.
Yeah. And there was some weird actor that they were talking about for MODOK, like Jack Black or something, I think it was.
Oh my god!
No, it wasn't Jack Black.
Psionic
Maybe it
Blasters.
Was I don't remember who it was, but it was like someone like... Oh, I can't remember. It was someone crazy.
They're just kind of watching Marvel vs. Capcom and like, who can we take from this game? Oh, but that would be so cool. Jack Black is MODOK.
I don't think it was Jack Black. It was someone else. But Jack Black is coming to my mind for some reason. I don't think it was him.
Apparently it was good in Bernie as well.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
Bernie, because it's about a town that...
People are like talking about that being an Academy Award movie, so...
Yeah.
I didn't want to see that.
I'm liking that comedies are getting, like, more nominations and stuff lately, which is good, because I don't want the biggest, you know, if it's going to be the most important movie award show, I mean, I know comedy's hard to judge because it's so subjective, but still, you know, has to be the opinion of everyone. Whatever. But, I mean, God knows, Thor Dark World just sounds so cool. Because it's just...
Well, it's another Thor movie, of course it sounds cool.
But it's just, it's like Thor has, it's just going to be weird, you know, you can't avoid that.
Yeah.
You know, unless they said an average day in New York City or something, which would be boring.
Well, they said it's more Asgard, so cheap street for that.
Oh my god.
Unless they have like a Times Square in Asgard.
Yeah, I just kind of want to be Idris Elba and Thor, like Heimdall and Thor teaming up and going through whatever. Because, come on. More Heimdall is cool.
But he's busy guarding the gate, dude.
I don't
can't
know.
Leave that room.
I would. I could actually watch a whole movie of him guarding the gate.
I could not. That would be boring.
It's just... Oh, man. I just kind of...
He would stand there.
Actually, that, you know what would be cool? If he's like the cop of all of Asgard, because he guards the city, and so he has to like...
But cops go out and like do things.
Dude, I'm...
Cops move.
He's like...
Cops leave a room.
He's in the city, man. He can just go through the city while the city's being guarded. Because he's, like, always aware of who's leaving and staying, you know.
Yeah, but within the city, he can't fuck crime up because he's busy fucking standing around. Like a little bitch.
No,
he's cool and all, but he's not a cop, I'm sorry.
Go up to
he's
Heimdall.
He's a fucking bouncer, alright? He's not a cop.
Dude, I'm sorry, but that is, like, one of the that is the coolest character in Thor, okay?
I don't know about that.
Well,
he's a badass. He's not the coolest character because he doesn't do shit.
Dude, he like swings his sword before he gets iced.
Yeah, that's it.
That actually sounds so cool. It's like it's even worse because it's a black guy, so it's like he got iced. You could like make this whole 70s cut of the movie where it's like, Heimdall, you're back. I thought you got iced. I didn't. I got iced, motherfucker. But I'm back.
And then he sits in his room for another 2 hours.
Dude, he investigates.
I wonder if he has a lunch break. What happens if someone comes in on a lunch break? Does he just let him through? He's like, oh, whatever, I don't care. I'm on my break.
Odin just goes time freeze and then he has his break, I bet.
No, maybe.
Odin's like all powerful and thus every story begins with Odin getting taken out at some point. It's like, Odin is in Odin sleep. Odin has been had his finger pricked. You know, it's Odin.
If he's so all powerful, why is he always like not doing anything?
Because he'd just solve a problem and it'd be like, Odin, done.
But he's obviously not going to solve the problem because he's always having issues all the time.
Paradox. Yeah, it's kind of like he has to have issues or else be kind of a Thor story, you know? Because he could just solve...
Yeah, if he has issues, then that would prove that he can't just solve everything.
Well, no, it's like most of the big stories take place during the Odin sleep or some kind of big thing of like, the war, like every...
Doesn't he die in the war, though?
No, every so-and-so, there's, like, this moment where all the ice giant, like, during the Odin sleep, all the ice giants just frost giants decide to attack Asgard, just because.
Well, yeah.
And...
Because they're villains, dude.
They're just... Isn't it weird that we're, like, that we love the black and white villains, even though we've been loving, you know, morally ambiguous characters? Even though, I mean, when you think about it, the Marvel Universe is filled with more dickheads, like bad guys, than the DC Universe. Which you would think, the DC Universe being all like, Superman, Batman, and Lex Luthor, and all these simple villains, that no. The Marvel Universe is filled with way more dickheads who are just evil. Because
Batman isn't a simple villain.
Simple hero. I said Superman, Lex Luthor.
So Superman, Batman, Lex Luthor.
I was including Batman as a hero. I thought
but
that
he's
was
not simple, though, is what I'm saying.
You can make him grey, but Batman's pretty simple.
If you make him simple.
Yeah.
If you're just like, he's a guy in a cape, he goes punches guys.
That's why people can make really good stories, because he starts off simple and then he becomes complicated, because they start, you know, applying all their crime stories they want to do but in comic books.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say Batman's simple, though. None of the good Batman stories are the simple ones.
I don't know. It's not because Batman's complicated in those stories, it's because everything else around him is complicated.
Yeah, no, that's what is... No.
Like, Dark Knight Returns is kind of like... It's... I mean, it's interesting. It's very well done, but it's... Batman's not like... It's not that complicated what he is.
He's an old man.
Yeah, it's just really interesting.
He's all rickety and shit.
complications.
Yeah.
I love Batman, but I'm sorry, he's not that complicated. He's
morally ambiguous, though. He's not black and white.
He's like one of the most simple, morally ambiguous characters of all time. But I'm not gonna get into that. But I love Batman, but people put Batman on this pedestal and...
Well, because who's made the only good superhero movie in like ever?
Christopher Nolan, not Batman.
Yeah,
Batman didn't just.
Well, then Batman's clearly pretty good if Christopher Nolan can make something good out of it.
I'm sorry, Christopher Nolan has also lost his pedestal after Dark Knight Rises.
Dude, that is so bullshit. I hate it when people do that. It's like eight amazing movies, and now he made one so-so movie, and he's bad.
Good, and he's great at points, but that just means he's not perfect.
No one's fucking perfect, though.
I don't know.
Name a perfect director.
Okay, I don't agree with it, but Aronofsky.
Aronofsky's not perfect. He's one of my favorite directors of all time, and I wouldn't say he's perfect.
Okay, but I'm simply saying that the reason why Batman's good, why those Batman movies are good, is because of Christopher Nolan.
No, fuck that. We've moved on from that. You can't. The thing, no, like, I'm not even accusing you of this. I'm accusing. Well, I am, but I'm accusing tons of people of this. It's like Christopher Nolan made a movie that was okay. And now he's a bad director. And now you're like, oh, Christopher Nolan's done. It's like, Christopher Nolan made 8 movies that are... Well, I don't know actually how many he made. I'm just guessing it's 8. But he made 8 amazing, like, amazing,
dude,
masterful movies. And
okay,
now he makes
okay,
one movie
you need to
that
note,
not
you need
everyone
to
likes.
Note something. Okay. So there are pedestals that people move up as they do really good movies. And Christopher Nolan, when he did Dark Knight, was at this point where... And then it was like Inception, where it was just like, whoa.
Yeah, he's like... In God mode.
Yeah, he was in God mode.
Yeah.
So he had this position.
And now he's still one of the best directors
so
of all time.
So when I say he stepped down from a pedestal, he's still on the really high, really good...
But that's not what you said. We have it on record, by the way. We're recording this.
He said he's not perfect anymore.
We should totally rewind and find out what you said, because I don't remember either.
I
but I'm pretty sure he
I know,
said something
just,
more negative than
you
that.
Just, you clearly just remembered this other thing
no,
that sounds
no,
the same.
I'm pretty,
I am saying...
I'm pretty sure... Like, we're not going to go back and rewind it, are we? But like... I'm pretty certain you said something really quite negative, and all I'm saying, and I'm not even accusing you as much as I am accusing 100,000 other people.
Okay, I know
that it's like he's still probably the next movie he makes is probably going to be fucking awesome.
Most of the fanboys are actually probably more on the positive side of
it. Yeah, no, but the people that are negative about it.
Oh no, I don't agree with that. I'm very interested in the next movie.
Oh, dude, I can't wait.
Especially when he's like distanced himself from previous projects. But to my other point, I simply said he's not perfect. Which
he was never perfect.
I'm simply saying, you know what I
Batman
mean.
Batman Begins wasn't a perfect movie by
you
any
You know what I mean
language.
In the point that he entered that sort of very, very high position after Inception.
Well, yeah, because he made, like, a classic film with The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
That's going to be, like, a movie people talk
but,
about forever.
Back to the original point. The reason why Dark Knight's great and fantastic is not because of Batman. It's because of Christopher Nolan. Because there are just as many bad Batman stories as there are good ones. It's just people don't notice them because they're not advertised.
Well, yeah, no, but there are more good Batman stories than there are for most other superheroes.
Well, that's only because most people like to do crime stories, and the really good writers tend to somehow be doing crime stories, and, well...
Oh, because Batman's just a really good character.
Batman's really good for crime stories. People like to do those dark stories.
But, like, The Dark Knight Returns isn't a crime story.
Look, The Dark Knight Returns kind of is.
No.
There's
crime in it. That doesn't make it a crime story.
Well, that was also, you know... Well, yeah, it's a good...
The Killing Joke isn't a crime story.
It is.
No.
It's a crime
Killing story. Joke is a psychological story.
It's a psychological
story. There's no crime... There's nothing
there
about
is.
Crime in it.
There is.
No.
There is a case.
It's about
the
Joker and his ability to put people into madness. It's got nothing to do with crime.
It begins with a crime, and then it develops.
There are, dude, there are, like, so many things that begin with a crime that aren't crime.
I still see that as a crime, but either way, that's part of it, and also the fact that people can map Batman onto a lot of storylines without even really doing a Batman story, which is fine and all. I'm kind of tired of Batman. Is my thing.
Hell no, Batman's heaps good.
No, dude, I'm sorry. There's been way too much Batman lately.
Well, it's because it's amazing.
No, there's way too much Batman. I need other superheroes to be done well.
Dude,
well,
it's not our fault that Batman's just better than the rest.
Okay.
Can't do anything about that.
I'm sorry. But it's like, I was like so annoyed about it because I was watching this fan video. This is just a fan thing.
where they're doing this thing on, like, this GAC guy who does these fight things online, did, like, Captain America vs. Batman. And they never have a definitive thing in these sort of things. They always have, like, a middle ground thing where it's, like, both heroes get a badass moment. So, basically, Batman, they have a video where Batman wins and Captain America wins.
Yeah.
And people seem to, like, went to the Captain America video and not realize, I'm guessing, the Batman video was there. And then they're like, no, Batman would never lose to Captain America. And it's like, dude.
I don't know about that. I reckon that they're pretty even.
Yeah.
Batman's a fucking pussy in comparison to Captain America. Batman's just smarter than he is.
But even so, Captain America isn't like he doesn't know how to fight. He's actually been through a lot of wars. He knows how to use what he has at his command. It's not like
and he can kill, which Batman can't, which is a bit easier. You can just shoot a gun and Batman dies. There is that.
But I'm bored. I don't hate Batman. And it's like zombies. It's not like I'm going to say no to a good Batman story. I'm just kind of like, I want to see other things. I have other things I'm into. I'm not just into this one type of thing.
There are still thousands of other things coming out all the time, though. It's not like Batman is the only thing that we ever see nowadays.
Except,
just a lot
except
of Batman.
With all the DC stuff. It's always like, oh, we did a shit thing, Batman.
Well, that's not because DC wants to only make good Batman movies. They want to make good movies out of other superheroes. They're just not doing a good job of it.
They just don't
it's not like they're deliberately
although,
making bad movies that aren't
Batman
Ratner movies.
Is going to be attached to the next Justice League movie, which I find funny.
You know, they've jumped through like three directors in the last month.
Yeah, but if he does it, I'd find that funny.
I don't even know who that is.
He did the X-Men The Last Stand and the Rush Hour series.
Yeah, that's not happening.
As I said,
yeah.
It would be funny because that would happen. That could totally happen. Although Ben Affleck was going to be...
Yeah, that would have been cool.
That would have been so cool. Like, directing.
Yeah.
Although he kind of wants this thing where he has to be in the movie as well.
Yeah, he's one of those directors.
Yeah. Which I'm alright with.
He could be Green Lantern.
Oh yeah, he could be Green Lantern, actually. Yeah. I'm thinking about, like, Green Lantern. I'm like, yeah, that could work.
He looks like Hal Jordan enough.
Yeah. You know, Hal Jordan is, like, a cop guy. And...
Yeah, Hal Jordan's a space cop.
Yeah, and Ben Affleck has a space cop face. And, I mean, Green Lantern is not going to be the main character. He's just going to be like, ring shit, and that's all he's doing.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool.
Oh, yeah, well, that's too late now because it's not happening anymore.
Brett Ratner. you say it's not going to happen. That's something they totally do, just because Brett Ratner would just lower his price because he's such a dick. Brett Ratner is such a dickhead.
Yeah.
But oh well. Oh well. Anywho, did you hear about Jersey Shore cancelled?
Yes, we were looking at the page today earlier with each other. Good job trying to
catch
a conversation when the people don't know things that we know, but I'm going to tell them.
Just shut it down. So, hey, did you hear about... I'm telling them the whole structure of the show. Okay, then, never mind.
Well, yeah, Jersey Shore got cancelled, no one cares.
No, dude, I am very interested because mainly because whenever a reality show dies, I just feel so much good. Even though it's had like 6 seasons, I bet, or something. It's always like
really. I only really even heard of it last year.
I heard about it last year, but I'm sure it's had like so many seasons.
But why would they cancel it? Doesn't it get like tons and tons of people watching it?
Because most people only care about two characters. I know they only care about really Snooki and Paulie. I don't actually know who the... I know Snooki, because...
Yeah, everyone knows... I know that name, too.
Yeah. But I don't know who Paulie is. He's, like, one of the other spray tan dudes. I'm guessing the one...
Is Snooki a guy or a girl?
Snooki's a girl. I was about to say guy.
A girl.
A girl. I actually saw a picture where, like, you know the recent show on... What was it? It's the Australian Jersey Shore, pretty much.
Oh, The Shire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're, like...
Not from The Hobbits, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a place in Australia called The Shire, and it's where the Guidos are.
But I was, like, on it.
Australian Guidos.
And they were talking about, like, there was, like, memes going around where it was, like, oh, the Shire is, like, oh... You know, they were showing pictures of, like, oh, what the fuck is this shit? What is it? And then they got a picture of Jersey Shore and had, like, one of the characters going, like, what the fuck is The Shire? And I was just, like, irony. Because it's, like... Do you understand the irony that you're posting a Jersey Shore picture bagging about The Shire, which is the same thing?
Yeah, it's exactly the same show, yeah.
And, I mean, okay, The Shire is bad, but it's only because the Jersey Shore exists.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so happy that did badly.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
I remember, like, Facebook blew up about this show. I figured everybody was watching it.
Oh, I did. It was insane.
Yeah.
It's like, everyone was just like, fuck the Shire.
No, but everyone was loving it. No, but everyone was like, oh, the Shire is so funny. I love it. That's what I got from my Facebook.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess.
I figured that it would have... So is it still on? Or has it been cancelled or what?
I don't know. It's one of those things, like, everyone hated Jersey Shore, but then that...
Dude. Yeah, but everyone watched it, though.
Yeah.
They hated it and watched it.
Yeah, so I guess it might be the same thing.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. Everyone like, needs a show that they just hate, you know? They just... Everyone in the whole world just automatically hates that they have villains. Because there are no villains, and we've all realized everything's morally ambiguous and shit. There are obvious people that are doing bad things, like certain politicians, but that doesn't change the fact that things are still always morally ambiguous, you know?
Yeah.
And Jersey Shore offers that nice little lure of, fuck this shit. Which you guys, you know, could see my hand gestures.
Yeah, everyone can see Henry's hands.
See the hands! I have such a love for our audience.
Maybe we could, like, deliberately make the sound waves, if, you know, like, when you look at, like, an image of sound, we could make it look like hand gestures.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
That'd be difficult.
We need to pay Julian a lot of money.
No, we need to just speak in different volumes in such a way that...
Like this. Like this. Yeah, okay, I did it.
No, you didn't. No.
No.
That's not a hand.
They're more like manta rays or something, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do. Kind of impossible.
Look at the pretty pattern that you can't see.
If they use the right sound program thing, they can watch it.
Another thing that I found I'm kind of in the middle about, and I'm worried. I'm like, I was liking the idea of the Hobbit sequels because I was like, okay, it's like after the Hobbit and shit, you know?
Yeah.
But now that it's basically, the titles have come out, and it basically, the third one sounds like a Hobbit, like, it's called, like, There and Back Again. So that might be in between. But the first two...
Isn't There and Back Again what he writes in The Lord of the Rings?
I think so. So I guess that might be, like, I don't know, one last adventure. Because it's gonna be about, like...
No, There and Back Again is his autobiography, dude.
Well, yeah, but that's what the third one's called. So
yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, they could just have that for a title just because it's a title, because the people recognize what it's called.
But I guess they're building Bilbo Baggins, so as like this, you know, the hero of the series. So
well, yeah, it's the Hobbit. Hello.
Well, yeah. So I'm simply saying that the third one is still going to be him. So I guess.
Yeah, but it may well be. I still am hoping, at least, that it's going to just be like little collected short story type stuff.
That'd
be awesome.
Or at least short stories thrown in at the side of this massive, you know, adventure.
Yeah.
Because that would be so cool.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be over the next 3 years, so this year, and yeah, blah, 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 blah. So I'm...
That's, like, really soon.
Yeah.
We're going to see The Hobbit soon.
I know.
Oh, dude, I forgot.
I hope the CG...
Pretty cool.
I hope the CG works. Because...
No, it'll work now. I hope it'll work in 20 years. That's the problem I want.
Oh, yeah, because... You know, I can watch the thing now still and be like, whoa, great special effects, guys. And then I watch, like, Polar Express, and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. And it's like, look, what the Avengers is going to look like shit in 20 years.
Oh.
But you look at the Avengers and be like, that movie's hot. People, the children of Next Generation, are going to watch the Avengers and be like, why is this good? It's going to be like us when we watch old movies and people are like, oh, that's such a good movie. And we're like, no, that movie was
Mark
shit.
Mark Ruffalo, what the fuck's this guy doing?
Yeah. And people are going to be like, that Avengers movie that everyone freaked the fuck out about, that movie was crap. But people are going to watch The Dark Knight and be like, that is still good.
Yeah.
That's the difference between Dark Knight and Avengers, I guess.
Yes.
Having said that, Avengers is delicious. But isn't that sad that people aren't going to like The Avengers in 15 years?
It is, but that's because The Avengers is more like that light, that fresh breath of air that we haven't had in years.
Yeah, and now team superhero movies are going to be like a big successful thing because of The Avengers. And then it's going to be like, well, it was the first one, that's why we like
fall on that defense, like, it's the original, guys,
yeah.
Don't you know? Which is
even though X-Men came first, no one cares. Oh god, we're gonna be old soon, and then that's gonna happen.
Oh dude, we're already old.
It's already
you got, like, when you turn 20, that's just, like, that is the last year. Then
you're old when you're 20.
You're like...
This is so clearly young people saying that, because no one else would say it at 20 years old.
20 years old is, like, 12 for most people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you're 20, it's like, you can't even, you know, next year is just the beginning of your actual 20s.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like sex. You actually have it and you're like, wow, this is not the most amazing thing I've ever had.
And you just keep waiting for something amazing to happen, and you're like, wow, I've got wrinkles. And nothing.
You have wrinkles while having sex. Sex gives you wrinkles.
That's exactly where I was going with that. When you
man, you,
hot
your
water.
Analogy just then was the most nonsensical.
Well, when you have
I,
when you have
I,
sex
I
in hot water, I guess you wrinkle. I don't know.
If you have sex for like 3 hours in hot water, then I guess.
Although that's just more because you're like... Actually, science can't actually explain that.
What, why you have wrinkles?
Yeah, they just can't explain that. It's one of those weird things where science is like, what the fuck is this?
Really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I think they may have recently discovered it, but it was like recently.
I would have figured that it's just like, it loosens your skin or something. I don't know.
But it's like, I just...
It's like when you get spaghetti and you put it in boiling water, it goes floppy, right? When spaghetti isn't in boiling water, it's like hard, right?
Yeah, but science
and then you put
doesn't
it in boiling
have like
water,
a...
and then it gets floppy, just like your fingers
well,
get
all wrinkled. That's our logic, but I mean like a scientific explanation.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Not to scientists, they need reason.
That sounds reasonish to me. It's
they
like
need...
that happens.
They need evidence. So I guess, you know, I guess you have anything else?
We didn't talk about Cosmopolis.
Okay, so.
Well, I'm gonna put my review up. Like, in a few days.
Okay, I'm going to be... my opinion, probably, because I'm not going to be in your review. Like, I'm
yeah,
not going to probably be like,
yeah.
Hey, guys, this is just me.
Yeah.
So, we saw Cosmopolis recently. Now, Dylan wanted to see it more than I did, but I was like, yeah, I'll see it. I'll see an art movie, you know. I need to edumacate myself. So, yeah. And I saw it, and I have this problem where I'm like, with art movies, I'm like, okay, I can argue fun, dumb movies, so I'm like, okay, this is just a general experience thing. But art movies are different, because there's more to them. And so, when I saw Cosmopolis, I was sitting there like, okay, I see it's great, but what's happening? Is something going to happen? Is something going to happen? Are we just going to sit in the car? Are these scenes going to start going somewhere? Is there going to be something to grab me? And it didn't grab me. And then I walked out, and Dylan was like, oh my god, I just love this movie. It's so amazing. Robert Pattinson's amazing. And I was like, oh, okay.
Hey, I didn't love it that much. It was really good.
Let me finish.
Don't emphasize my likingness. I liked it a lot. I didn't like
jizz
all over
you really
it.
Liked it.
Yeah, I did. I didn't jizz all over it, though. Like,
all right, fine.
Sound like.
But I was kind of like, okay, Dylan's more into arty stuff. Clearly, I'm going to be like one of those guys that just didn't get it. And then the world released its review.
Yeah.
And it was like, no. Fuck that pretentious shit. And I was like, okay, I guess I was right to say pretentious.
Did you actually say pretentious? Oh,
yeah.
I guess you probably did.
I did. But yeah, I was trying to be light about it, which I guess I shouldn't have been.
Yeah, you need to, like, believe your opinion more.
Okay, well, Dylan. But Dylan's going to release a review in a couple days, so you guys check that out. But just generally speaking, you liked the movie.
Yeah, I did. One thing I will say, just real quick, is that a lot of the people that did like it a lot that are getting accused of being pretentious liked it because of its, like, overall message, and I didn't even think about that at all.
Although you do agree with that general... I'm not saying that that's your whole opinion, but you do generally agree with that sentiment.
That it's a good movie.
No, the actual message.
Well, the message is there, yeah, but... I didn't occur to me that the message was there until people said that the message was there.
What other messages are there? Because I get the obvious thing
our
about...
culture is shit and capitalism is shit.
Well, yeah, I get
that's
that.
That's about it.
That's about it. Okay,
yeah.
That was obvious. That was like
no, but the our
every
culture
scene was painted
know.
In red is bad.
Yeah. No, the hey, red is communism. That's the opposite of capitalism. And
no, I was thinking more like Republicans, but okay.
Are they red?
It's generally red versus blue with Republicans and liberals.
Liberals.
I love how we know more about American politics than
Australia. In Australia, there's Labour versus Liberal, and they're both blue, so colours don't matter.
We know way more about American politics. Like
I don't know shit about American.
Well, I just remember when Kevin Rudd gave his speech at, and it was just around that time, and everyone was just like, "Yeah, but Obama's giving a speech. Fuck Kevin Rudd." And we just watched.
Well, yeah, no, but that's different though because Obama's a big deal.
Okay.
Anyway, we're not talking about
okay,
Obama.
So Cosmopolis.
Yeah, no, I the main reason that I liked it so much was that I'm really... I guess this is... I have to kind of say this is kind of like a bias with me in that I'm really, really fascinated by, like, language and, like, dialect and sociolinguistics and that kind of thing.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of that in Cosmopolis. And I think that's the main reason I liked the movie so much was that it was, like... Every line that they said was said in an unconventional way, in a way that no one talks in real life. And that was interesting for me.
Well,
and I guess if you don't see that and find it interesting, then I guess the movie probably is like super boring. But I was constantly just interested in how they were saying everything, not even so much in what they were saying, because yeah, most of the time what they were saying didn't mean anything. It was just like character development. But yeah, I just thought the way that they said everything was like really, really interesting, and that was why I liked it for the most part. And that's why I liked the movie.
Well,
in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And I thought the final scene was really, really cool.
Oh, no. I will admit, okay, I've heard some bad cinema, but that final scene was so cool. It was just like, I just love it. Because, I mean,
spoilers. Yeah.
But Patterson has this moment where he just kind of like, he's so nonchalant. He's just like, okay, cool. Can I use your toilet? Like, he's just like, he's got a gun. Like, the guy is like, I'm going to fucking kill you. And he's just like, okay, can I use your toilet?
Yeah.
And the whole, like, mystery of the story unravels.
Yeah.
And that's when it became interesting. Because then I was like, okay, you know, I have more of a drive with this guy. I get what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I see that he's a capitalist pig who understands he's a capitalist pig. And he understands, like, you know, use Russian terms, but he understands he's a, you know, that his lifestyle and his world is meaningless. Pointless, it's douchey. And, I mean, you realize that even though they're all talking weird, I mean, the way he was talking to his wife was specifically destructive. You didn't even think about it. You were like, wow. No, he was being a dickhead on purpose because he wanted the relationship to fail.
Yeah.
He wanted his world to fail.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, it added so many layers to it where the guy is just admitting, like, everything I've done, I am really good at something that is just pointless and worthless in this world. And I found that cool. And the more I talk about it, it sounds cool. I just was really bored during most of it.
And I think that's completely fair enough. I'm not, like, defending the movie. I think if anyone doesn't like it, they're completely, like, correct in that opinion, I guess. But I, mainly for the reason of the use of language, I was really not bored at all. And I think there was some pretty cool imagery and stuff
and
in the film too.
I have a thing with my way of thinking where I enjoy things, is I understand that when I say enjoy, I don't mean in the sense of, oh yeah, explosions and shit. I mean that, although that would be a funny way to think about movies, but I mean, I just have to, when I say enjoy, I mean like in the sense I watch a thriller and I enjoy the fact that I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
You know, I watch a horror movie, I'm enjoying how scared I am of this movie.
Yeah.
Or how uncertain I am. And I don't know, I can enjoy scenes where people talk with each other. I'm not against that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, God knows I'm one of the few people that enjoyed Lions for Land, and that's pretty much just people in offices saying, politics, man. How shit are they? But I'm just enjoying Robert Redford going on and on about the liberal perspective.
Yeah.
And defending soldiers, which was a really cool scene, actually. I actually say you should, like, go find a way to watch it without actually getting the movie.
I want to watch the movie, though.
I would say you'd enjoy it, because it's not so much the one person's right. It's more like interesting perspectives on a very complicated situation.
Uh-huh.
Without being as douchey and pretentious about it as other pieces. You know,
uh-huh.
It's just like, we know war's happening. We're very aware of the fact that in this current situation, yep, life's fucked. Let's actually start talking about it while it's happening.
Yeah.
Which so many movies are like reaction movies about war.
Well, because that's like how people think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think like, especially like people still, I'm talking about a different period though, like 2008 around then.
Yeah.
When people were still acting like we're reacting to, the big recent, you know, the big changes with the Iraq war and such.
Yeah.
And now we're dealing with the point where we're just tired.
Yeah.
Although I found an interesting theory about the Iraq War, where it was kind of like, the reason why no one really talks about it the way they used to, like, it's not, I've noticed, like, it used to be a part of conversation. It just, Iraq War was going to be one of the five things you're going to talk about in an evening just because it's a big thing.
Mm.
And now people don't really do it in that way. And it's because we haven't finished with the war. We're still in the Iraq War. We're still doing that.
Yeah.
But we can't vilify the Iraq anymore. We're like, no.
I don't think we ever were vilifying Iraq.
Well, no, but
when the Iraq War started, we were vilifying America.
But the people,
we all disagreed with America.
But the people, even the people in America that were vilifying Iraq, don't do it anymore. Even the people in America that are like, yeah, fuck Iraq and all that, aren't even doing that. And it's evolved to this point where no one has a villain to hate.
And I just find that interesting, but...
Maybe because no one wants to be there anymore. Even the American, like, well, the public American government doesn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah.
They just are.
But either way, I thought Lion Slams did a good job of actually looking
okay,
at it.
Okay, well, I'll go watch that.
Yeah. But anyway,
I'll go watch the thousand other movies I have.
Are you going to be able to make that concert?
No, I don't really want to go anyway. I'm not, like, in the mood to go. It's not, like, a big deal. I'll see them in, like, a year or so anyway.
All right, okay. Sorry to break the flow, guys. I was just like...
I was going to go to a concert today, but I just can't be bothered. I'll just go home and play Dark Souls.
This weird argument about Cosmopolis just kind of... It's so cute. It's K-E-W-L.
Yeah.
I find politics really interesting. Like, I used to think they were boring, and I was like, no, actually... I do find it really interesting when people discuss about their rights and about what is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, you get into the idea of, like, you know, why should you kill, you know, not just, and I love that.
That's not politics, that's morality.
Well, yeah, I find morality interesting. Politics is when people start having their viewpoints conflicting. I also find it interesting, Christopher Nolan, you know why Dark Knight's so good? You probably know this, but I'm just asking as a sort of...
Because it's so fucking good.
But part of it... is that he actually took superheroes to that level where it was about... He actually looked at superheroes and said, okay, what's the next level of this? This idea, you know?
The next level is gods. Gods with capes.
Escalation. And I love that. Because it's
gods with capes on escalators.
But he looks at like how like that would actually happen, and I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Because I wish more movies would do that.
Yeah.
And this is mainly because I was reading Invincible. But there's a character in the book that actually who's in a position of power says, like, I have all this power at my disposal, right? And they're all just like, why aren't we doing anything? You know, like, why aren't we doing something with the power we have?
Mm-hmm.
Where we could end world problems right now. We have that power.
Yeah.
But nothing's happening. We need to get more organized. And I love that, you know.
Yeah.
I love that list.
Yeah. Henry's big monologue about just things that have no relation to each other, but he finds a way.
I find a way.
Yeah. Anyway, we're at 1 hour 30 minutes. That's a pretty good time.
That's a pretty good time. So I guess the next couple of weeks are going to be a couple of big, like...
They're going to be kind of clusterfucky, probably.
Yeah.
We don't really know what's going on.
It'll be... unlike last week, I'm going to make sure an episode happens.
Okay.
It's just... We are going to try and get things done. And just so you know, because I figure allow it to be recorded, that we are certainly trying to take this thing to a point where it's not just a little experiment. You know those YouTubers where they start something, they have like a video that's like, I'm doing this thing and I'm going to do this thing. And then they do at least like three things.
Yeah.
And then they stop.
Yeah.
No, I want this to be a thing. It's just...
I have a friend of mine who's a very good friend of mine who I love dearly.
She is a really cool girl.
She's pretty cool, yeah. She is an artist and, in the future, a video game designer.
Mm.
She does stuff. She just hasn't made games. She's just thought of them, I guess.
Aspiring.
Yeah.
I'd say aspiring.
But she's got, like, a bunch of DeviantArt followers. She's got over 1,000 followers on DeviantArt.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
She's so nice. She did like an art thing of just us as Batman and Robin.
Oh, that was funny, yeah.
just like, to the shadow.
So she has, she actually offered this. Like, it wasn't me going to her. She was like, oh, I do this. Isn't that cool?
Oh, every time I find her, like, you were so damn cool.
She wants to do a little, like, mini webcomic alongside my reviews. Like, every time I will publish a review, there'll be a little, like, only, like, one or two panel webcomic accompanying it about the movie or game or whatever that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's going to be so cool, because now I finally feel like I'm actually doing something unique, even if it isn't me doing it. Like, it's not just a dude that writes reviews. Like, there are billions of reviews out there.
It's a collaborative asset.
It's now something that's special. Like, there aren't review webcomic things.
Well, I mean, so many things where there is that moment where it takes it to the next level. Because I think the thing is, like, Leog, if you watch the original ones, it was just these two guys just talking to each other and then a guest. And then they brought in these two guys.
Yeah. And now it's just a big, like, party. No one knows what the Leog is. Well, some people probably do.
But it's an evolution thing. I actually met a guy after an interview who, like, totally knew Spilly, just started talking to me.
Oh, really?
And he was like,
hey, do you want to see it? I was like, oh, yeah, I go to spill.com. Yeah, Corey and the gang. And I made a reference, but I was like, okay, I'm busy. And I just was kind of a dickhead. And I felt so bad for dismissing him. But I was like, no, I got to do my thing. I got to get a haircut.
Oh, that's... Fuck haircuts, dude. You should have talked to that guy about spill.com for like 5 hours.
I should have. He was so cool.
But anyway, we'll put a link to her DeviantArt on the podcast, and she'll probably get a view from it.
Yeah.
Not even.
We'll like...
She'll... And I've changed my blog URL for the third time. This time for the final time.
Okay.
It's the name a friend of mine.
China remarks.
Yeah, a friend. I couldn't think of a name for the blog, and a friend of mine. So I just had Dylan's video game and movie reviews or something like that for a while, which is a shit name because it's like the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Good job, guys. And a friend of mine said Schneider remarks. My last name is Schneider, so I thought that was a pretty hilarious name.
Yeah.
But then there's like this family, like this little blog, and I had a quick look at it, and it's like a few people, like I'm pretty sure they're just a family that put their stuff up for the rest of their family. And it's like this little blog about their family life, and they're called Schneider remarks. And I was like, why? But so I hyphenated mine so that I've got a different URL to theirs. But I finally got that name now, and that's going to be the name of this thing, forever, I think.
Okay.
And then
I'm going to have to change like every link in every single video just to be like,
oh, thanks, dude. You don't need to do that if you don't want to.
No, I'll do it. Cause it just doesn't work.
All right. Yeah, I think it's so dumb that Blogspot doesn't just redirect you if you have an old URL, cause no one is allowed to use that URL now. Right?
Yeah.
Dylan's video game reviews, or whatever it's called, isn't allowed to be used by any other person.
I feel sorry for the next Dylan.
But it's like, why, if they're never going to use that URL for anything else, why don't they just redirect it to my new one?
I don't know. So stupid.
I hate it that they don't do that.
But everything else is so simple. Because
now every bit of advertising that I've put out there for myself doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And I've got, like, well, not that I had any, like, followers anyway, but, like, I'd have to redirect them all,
some
and that's
people,
bullshit.
I think some people, like, I do this, where I'm just like, oh, I'm not enough into this thing where I'm just going to go through a link to a site that I like and use that as my link and as to get to it before I'm like, okay, I go to this every day because I know how to get to it through Google search.
Yeah. But anyway, that's cool. And hopefully at some stage we're going to buy a website. Well, we're going to get, like, a domain name.
I would like go with my thing and just be like combined powers.
Yeah.
So then
we'll have my reviews/mini webcomic.
Yeah.
We'll have the podcast and maybe Lizelle will do a separate webcomic because there's a name Lizelle. She's been on the podcast for like 5 minutes at one stage.
We'll call her L Dog.
Yeah. She might do a webcomic or something for us. That'd be cool. And like she can put anything she wants up on our site, really.
Yeah.
Like, we're cool with that, right?
Yeah, we're cool with that.
Yeah.
We're cool.
And she can design logos. She's going to be designing logos for both of us.
Yeah.
I'm
like, sexy.
Yeah. So
I dream of logos at night, people.
Yeah.
It's good.
So I reckon this is pretty cool. We may not have an increase in viewership, but we have an increase in legitness.
Yeah.
So that's the important part, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if only 2 people are listening. That's not the point.
Dude.
The point is we have a logo set.
Upgrade from 1 to 2.
Yeah. And also we seriously need to fix this audio problem with Flash.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I think by the time we get a website and stuff, I'll have done all my other plans that I'm not going to talk about. Well, like moving out and shit, I guess. And I'll have a PC and... Because it makes more sense to just outfit everything for a PC, and I will, you know, I mean, I'll have enough money to pay, like, our friend to do tech stuff.
Yeah.
But I want to make this a thing. You know, I love how this is becoming.
But we really need to get on that because it's literally, like, 60% of people that are going on our site, or on your site, should I say, are getting that problem. And if I were someone that didn't know what this was, I just clicked on it randomly... I would immediately turn it off if that happened.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm never going on that again.
Yeah.
We're losing a lot of potential viewers by not fixing that. We need to get the fuck on that.
Mm.
But anyway, we just talked about us for like 7 minutes.
And to, just so you know, the thought process behind Inaudible Pontification.
Yeah.
and yeah, so, there are a couple, there are changes happening right now. And
housekeeping is happening at the moment.
Yeah, so, and, you know, there are, this is sort of, I hate to think about this in years, but this is just, lots of things are happening this year, and, you know, I didn't want to, like, wait and start the show for a year, because I was like, I'm not going to start the show if I wait a time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to be like, oh, fuck, I'll put it off, I need to do this, and I'll be like newlyweds with babies. I'll just never have a baby, because I'm just, like, always thinking about it.
Yeah.
Let's have a baby dinner.
No. Let's not have a baby.
Dude, it would be so cool. Vincent can name him.
No. Okay, if we have... No. No, no.
We'll be a monkey.
No. No babies. Fuck babies. 100%.
Dude, we can prove our life as a sitcom, because that would only happen on a sitcom.
Babies are not a thing. We can have a cat. Let's have a cat.
Okay, I kind of want to have a cat.
All right, good. We're having a cat,
wait,
not a baby.
It has to be a white one, though.
Yeah, pure white.
Pure
nice
white.
Cat.
I don't want to have, like, a furry one, though. I want to have one that...
No, we need... If you have a white cat, it needs to have, like, heavy fur. It needs to have a lot of fur. Otherwise, it looks retarded.
Okay,
you've got
fine.
A really,
like, I'll,
like, short
buy...
fur white cat.
I'll,
that's
like,
shit.
I'll buy pet food, and you can comb it.
Dude, combing it is not a problem. It takes, like, a minute a day.
All right.
I do that with my cat at the moment.
Then
I have to brush my current cat.
You do litter box.
Dude, just teach the cat to shit outside.
Either way, we'll probably need a house for that.
Yep, that would be step one. But anyway, no one gives a fuck about our living arrangements.
Anyway, this has been 140 minutes of inaudible pontification. Catch yous round.
Oh, that's...